Okay. Petita Pavana Hetu. Kava Avatar. Petita Pavana Hetu. This avatar, Hetu, what is the cause for him coming? Petita Pavana, Pavana, to purify Petita, those who are most fallen. So how much? Namo Maha Badanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. He is the most munificent avatar because he is giving the highest thing to the people who have the least qualification for it. So he leaves, and you can imagine. But so he has to leave all these people who become completely attached to him. What to speak of the people who came with him? And he says, I am leaving, and he has to give some reason. If he says, I'm just going preaching to save the fallen souls, he gave a reason that was a little bit more emotional, in one sense. I want to look for my brother. My brother left home. I want to search for my brother. But the pretext was to preach Krishna consciousness. And he visited all holy places, and we followed that. But the interesting thing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going to South India, because it's the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to teach us Krishna consciousness. He's appeared as an external reason, internal reason, but he wants to teach us Krishna consciousness. And he wants to teach us what type of Krishna consciousness? Anarpita, charim charat, kunaya, patir na kalo. Samarpiyatam, unatoj, vala, rasam, sabhakti. He wants to give that which has never been given before. And that's the innermost, deep, spontaneous love and affection for the Supreme Lord manifest fully as Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. That's his mission. But to give us that mission and to actually give us that highest thing, we have to understand clearly that it is the highest thing. Because to pursue a goal, you have to have faith that that goal is the best thing for you to do. So therefore, in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's travels, and because he's magnanimous, and he wants to give this, he wants to give it to all sorts of people who have such a variety of conceptions. He even wants to give it to the Sri Vaishnavas, who already have pure devotion to the Supreme Lord in the form of Narayan. So in the story of Venkata Bhat, he makes the distinction, the superiority of the worship of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna over the worship of Lakshmi Narayan. So we'll see, and especially, there was a verse, I should have looked it up at the beginning, that South India is full of all different types of philosophy. That's where the birth of all the Vaishnava philosophies come. That's where Madhva is. That's where Ramanujacharya is. Nimbarkacharya also came from the south. Even Rupa and Sanatan, their ancestors came from the south. So he has to subtly clear up these misconceptions. If you want to give a particular bhava or ecstasy, you first have to give a particular buddha or discrimination or understanding that that ecstasy is worthy of pursuing. The Chaturshloki Bhagavad Gita presents that so clearly. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matasarvam pavartate iti bhutva bhajanti mam buddha bhavasama. Krishna says, I am the source of the material and spiritual worlds. Buddha, Bhava, the wise who know that engage in my devotional service. If we didn't know that Krishna, aham sarvasya prabhavo, that he's the source of the material and spiritual, if we thought Lord Shiva was the source of material and spiritual worlds, or Lord Brahma was the source, or Goddess Durga was the source, Or Allah was the source, in one sense, of course, there's different conceptions of the absolute there. But then why would we worship Krishna? And therefore, to have bhava You have to have some bundagan, discriminatory understanding. And that's some bundagan, that knowledge of relationship. And I explained this sambandha. What does relationship mean? It means the interrelationship of the components of reality, to understand reality clearly. What does sambandha mean? To understand the relationship between one truth and another. In other words, to have really clear discriminatory understanding. And that sambandha gyan, knowledge of sambandha or relationship, will grow into knowledge of your relationship with the Supreme Lord. And what's that knowledge of that, your relationship with the Supreme Lord? I am a servant. I am a cowherd boy. I am a parent. I am a gopi. That's sambandha gyan, that type of understanding, which is not just an intellectual understanding, but the essence of the soul, which you actually feel. But it begins with some sambandha gyan, some understanding. And therefore, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to give this, in his travel to South India, he meets all sorts of spiritual personalities and has discussions with them to make it clear that the prema pumartha mahan, that the greatest value, the greatest wealth, is this prema, this love of Godhead, this spontaneous devotion. Anarpita, charim charat, anarpita. Arpita means to give. Anarpita, never given before. And now here in this verse, it again, these are the sutras, synopsis. So Sri Chaitanya meets Rangapuri. So who is Rangapuri? He goes to Kolhapur. That's in Maharashtra. And he meets a disciple of Madhavendrapuri. That means he meets a godbrother of his own guru, because Ishwarpuri was disciple of Madhavendrapuri. So he meets him. And he's so ecstatic to meet someone. Here in the house during lunch, we're watching some of those Prabhupada tapes, and we really, it was so wonderful. We were listening to one tape where it was a great combination. It was Pradyumna, which was my favorite, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Bhaktitirtha Swami, and Ambarish on the same one. It was great with Pradyumna's realizations. And I remember he gave one thing. It was so good. He was describing, he came in some house or in some apartment, or they put him in a hotel and the windows were shut. And Prabhupada said, open up the windows. And then he says, an Indian house means open windows, open doors, open mind. So I got a little off track. Oh, yeah. So it was nice seeing, you know, Tamal Krishna Maharaj telling his stories in relationship to Prabhupada. It's very wonderful. So he meets, you know, and they didn't have video or anything, you know. They didn't have, you know, so many, you know, you meet them, you may meet them like once in your lifetime. He meets a disciple of Madhavendrapuri, and then he tells him, your holiness is certainly related to Madhavendrapuri, with whom there is no, without whom there is no frame, there is no fragrance of prema bhakti. And therefore, even in you know, he meets, the next verse will meet the Tattvavadis or the Madhvas, previously met, you know, the Sri Vaishnavas, and this is Madhavendrapuri. He establishes Madhavendrapuri. Without relation to him, there is no, certainly, without, there is no fragrance of ecstatic love for Godhead, because the this anarpita charim charat karunayava tirnaka anarpita samarpitam unatoj vala, this spontaneous love of the resonance of Vrindavan and the fullest manifestation of the Supreme Lord and intimate conjugal love in Vrindavan, Radha and Krishna, that was given by Madhavendrapuri. Before that, it was not revealed within the cyclic succession in our line. It was not revealed. was given by Mahadevendra Puri. And then this Ranga Puri, he starts talking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said, oh, okay, well, what's your father's name? Jagannath Misra. Do you know that one time that I was traveling with Mahadevendra Puri, and we went to Navadvip, and we came, we went to see Jagannath Misra, and we remember that he had lost one son who had taken sannyas, and we remembered the cooking of Sachi Mata, the curry she made with banana leaves, the cooking of Sachi Mata. How much love. Devotion makes things perfect. And anyway, even if it doesn't come out perfect, it's perfect that has devotion, but devotion tends to make things perfect. That's why, generally, honestly speaking, you, on one sense, you can offer things. The best thing you can offer are the things you like, because the things you like you think are best. In other words, I always give this story, and I just went to this wonderful Bengali song. Boy, they made me shukta, and I didn't go there and ask them for pizza or spaghetti. I go to an Italian home, I'm not going to ask them for Bengali food. Nor are they. And if I tell, if they're going to cook for me, and let's say that somehow or other, with all my bad qualities, they had some lovely devotion for me. Then you go to the Italian's house, they'll cook Italian food. You go to the Bengali's house, they'll cook Bengali food. You go to the Gujaratis, you get dhokla. You go to the Punjabis, you get paturi roti chana. Why? Because what they like best, they can offer with most love. They can offer with the most love and devotion. So you can imagine. And that love and devotion makes things fine. That's why there's this verse in the Bhagavatam, somehow or other, that if one has devotion, he can run with his eyes closed. The eyes are Shruti and Smriti. You know, without so much cognizance of the rules and regulations, if you have real devotion. And I heard one scholar give the example of that, of a mother, because she loves the child, she becomes a good mother. It's not that previously there were very wonderful, wonderful mothers that they had read so many books and studied so many things in university, but they became good mothers because of active devotion. So when something is done in devotion, if you have love for something, if something is done in devotion, there is a chance that it can be made in the nicest way for the pleasure of someone else. I also told this story. I have a good friend of mine, and he's a professor. And I knew him when he was a devotee in Vrindavan, and then later on he became a professor, a very, very good professor. And he has a guru in Vrindavan. So I was visiting him, and he had a transcript of all the conversations with his guru. And his guru started to get some Western disciples. So they had some, it's the rebound from ISKCON, there could be some criticism, reaction. So they wanted to get some information against ISKCON or something like that with this guru. They asked him, can you offer Krishna pizza? To show that it wasn't like Vedic. And the guru said he has 9 PhDs. I said about this person. 9 PhDs in all philosophy. And the guru said, very interesting, I love it, he said, yes, he said, what you like best you can offer with the most devotion. Because what you like best you think is the best. An Italian can offer pizza with the most love. A Bengali can offer shukta with the most love. You know, Gujarati, a South Indian can offer, you know, Italy's doshas with the most love. So Ranga Puri was remembering Mother Sachi's curry made with banana leaves. We can all remember. I don't want to get into this, because I could talk about this a lot because I do have good appetite. but I remember sometimes the things that you remember. Anyway, he goes to Kolhapur, and then he has a, he meets him, and then he mitigates the suffering of the Brahmin named Ramdas. And then the next verse, Tatpavadi Sahakaila Tadvera Vichar Apanakehina Bhuti Haila Tansava. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also had a discussion with the Tatpavadi community, and the Tatpavadis felt themselves inferior to the Vaishnavas. So again, this is coming up later. Lord Chaitanya meets with the Madhvas to make the distinction clear, so that we can have faith in the highest thing. Without faith, faith is the precursor to knowledge. Because knowledge means you have to understand things that without thought and without instruction are beyond your comprehension. So it takes effort. But no one puts any effort into something that they have no faith in the result. So if you don't believe something is true, you won't try to understand how it's true. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to us with these dialogues how it's true that the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the topmost thing. And then he meets the Tattvavadis, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks them, sadhana, sadhya sadhana shreshta. What is the best sadhana to get the goal of life? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replies, Prabhu kahi kahe shastre kahe shravana kirtana krishna prema seva phalera parama sadhana. According to the verdict of the Shastra, the process of hearing and chanting is the best means to attain loving service to Krishna. Because the Tattvavadis said doing Vanashram and offering the results to Krishna. So he says chanting and hearing is the best. And then he says Shravana Kirtana Vishnu Smaranam. And then he quotes, this is very nice, he quotes from the Bhagavatam. Because he says, what's the goal? The sadhya is praying, love of Godhead. So how do you get love of Godhead? What's the best process actually to get prema? Paramadye sarvashreshte, this was not quoted here. Nama sankirtan, nirapade pade paila prema, nama sankirtan. Paramadye sarvashreshte nama sankirtan. Of all the nine processes of devotional service, chanting the holy name is the best. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. Nirapade apayla prema nama. And if it's done without offense, you can easily get love of Godhead. That's the best. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives a quote from the 11th canto, which Jiva Goswami uses. It's the first. When Jiva Goswami and Bhakti Sundarbha explains Nam Tattva, the science of chanting the holy name, the first verse he quotes is Evam Vrata Svatiya Nam Kirtya Japanu Raga Tutitiktu Chai. How do you get prema? What's the best process? Evam Vrata. You make a vow in this way. And what's the vow? It refers to the previous verse. Without attachment, without inhibition, one should chant the holy name. And what holy name? Svapriya Nama Kritya. The names of your beloved Lord. Because when you're talking about love, there has to be relationship. If you want love, there has to be relationship. So you chant the name of the Lord whom you have relationship. And therefore, we have relationship with Radha Krishna. We have relationship with Gaur Nitai. And and I always think I wanted to show the efficacy of this verse. And I like this song. Parama karuna pahu dvijana nitai gaura chanda Sabhavatar Sarashiramani Kevalanam very beautiful verse, the two lords, the most merciful. Some of all avatars say they're the crest jewel, and they give the process of Nam Kirtan, which is only blissful. When you sing that song, you can sing it with some emotion, because we're servants of the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and as servants, we have a relationship. So, evam vrtasva priya nama. You have to chant the name of your beloved Lord, and therefore, not just the name of your beloved Lord that you have a relationship with, you have to chant it with sambandha. When you chant the holy name, there's relationship, and you should think of that relationship. The holy name is Krishna, and we have a relationship with Krishna. It's not impersonal. The Supreme Lord, whom we have a relationship, has appeared to give us mercy and is hearing our prayers. As I mentioned before, when we chant, we should understand that Krishna is listening and is getting pleasure, and therefore we should chant to give the Supreme Lord pleasure. And anyway, with this, he converts the tattvavadis. He explained that fruit of activities, he quotes from Narada Muni, Vyasadeva to Narada Muni, nice karmyan apichuta bhavavarjitam. That even you perform without any motive, achuta bhavavarjitam, if it's without bhava to Krishna. You perform devotional activities. If it's without devotion to, if you perform religious activities, even completely unmotivated, you know, gan, with no detachment to the body, nice karmyam, not fruitive at all, nice karmyam, no fruitive. You perform it simply for purification. Nice karmyam of the achuta bhava, but it's without achuta bhava, without some devotion. The shobhyate. Shobhyate means it's not beautiful. Then what to speak of fruitive activities? So he gives these arguments. Very, very wonderful. And therefore, this verse, the Tattvavadis felt themselves inferior to the Vaishnavas because they couldn't respond on this level. I want to go back to one thing before I go forward, and maybe I'll have to end today, but I always would tell the devotees on the class that sometimes I would dial a shastri when I was in Vrindavan. I have a friend there he speaks fluent English, and he's studied, you know, all the commentaries on the Bhagavatam, and you know, sometimes I just like, they become possessed with knowledge, and they just start quoting with enthusiasm. And so I thought somehow I had phone service here where I could call anywhere in the world for like 15 cents. And so I called him today, and I was talking to him about this story of Kala Krishnadas, who was Lord Chaitanya's servant in South India, who became influenced by the Bhadaharis, even though he was the personal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada's purpose says Kala Krishnadas was influenced by nomadic gypsies who enticed him with women. Maya is so strong that Kala Krishnadas left Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's company to join gypsy women. Even though a person may associate with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he can be allured by Maya and leave the Lord's company due to his slightest independence. Only one who is overwhelmed by Maya can be so fortunate, could be so unfortunate as to leave Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's company. Yet unless one is very conscientious, the influence of Maya can drag one away, even though he is the personal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what to speak of others? So powerful. The Bhadaharis used to increase their numbers using women to allure outsiders. This is factual evidence, showing that it's possible at any time to fall down from the Lord's association. One need only misuse his little independence. once fallen and separated from the Supreme Personality of God as association, one becomes a candidate for suffering in the material world. Although rejected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kala Krishnadas was given another chance because the devotees, we know the devotees took mercy on him. And how did they, this is very, very interesting. How did they give him again? How did they show them the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? They gave him service to do, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had now come back from Puri. And when he came back from Puri, they needed someone to inform Mother Sachi, Advaitacharya, and the devotees in Navadvipa. So they gave him the service. But it's interesting. So actually, I called my friend, and it was very interesting. And he told one story of actually, he's actually, Gilbron is a what's his name, you know? Khalil Gilbron, a famous Sufi poet. You know, so somehow or other, this, I don't know where he got this from, but Gilbron, I probably pronounced things wrong, but anyway, it's funny, he got it from his father, who doesn't even speak English, right? I know he was talking to his father on the roof. And it was a prayer that this person was giving to his guru. He said, "Don't let me, when I get to the steps of heaven, at that time, don't let me fall away from your lotus feet," or something like that. And he was explaining this, right? Because I asked him, how did Kala Krishna, what? He said, "Well, you have to look, what is the message here? The message here is that your enthusiasm and devotion is what actually brings you into the proximity of the absolute reality. And if coming closer to the absolute reality reduces that enthusiasm, then it will also distance you from the absolute reality." And then this person, because he was also connected to this guy, and he said, "Just look what happened to so many of Prabhupada's personal servants. They thought, now we have attained." But it's not it's not that the body attains, it's the consciousness that attains. Now we have attained. So this person is given the prayer. When I get to the steps of heaven, what may happen? I may say, now I'm there. And you give up the internal, you give up the enthusiasm. And therefore you'll also lose that attainment. So this story is there because, again, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the different stories in South India, they're giving you all the components of understanding. The sambandha gyan, the discriminatory knowledge you need to stay straight on the path. So I thought he was saying, and then he said something else. He said, association. It was great. And I can't even remember all the pastimes. He was just like, he's having, in one sense, he's a friend of mine, so he's having his own personal problems, you know, because we have that in life, you know, in different things, in family, whatever it is. But, you know, when you get, he becomes like possessed with knowledge, and he was quoting from Ramayana, and there were stories, and like, but he said, association is not your encroachment. It's the mercy of that person you're with. So if you think the association is your encroachment, not his space, the mercy of that person. And unless you keep in that consciousness, you'll lose that association. It was so interesting. And then somehow or other, this person, I remember, it's very interesting. I told you that his grandfather was the greatest logician. And his grandfather left home 40 years ago when he was 60. And his grandmother waited for him. And then his grandfather, who took his sannyas, was dying. So his father brought him back. And then his grandmother, who had waited 40 years, then was nursing him. You know? So I forgot what he said. I asked him about that, and then he gave the example. He was quoting from Shruti and Smriti, that a sannyasi should not something like that should not return the offer basis, you know, to any people. You know, I forgot what it was. He doesn't make social distinctions, but if his mother comes, he has to get off the seat. And then he said, well, he said, and then he started quoting from different scriptures that the first deva is the mother. And then he quoted another verse. He said, there can always be an ill son, but there can never be an ill mother. And I was saying, why is this? He said, well, because all the samskaras are created in the womb of the mother. In order, all the impressions that you develop in your life are created in the womb of the mother. And then it says, and others only enhance that which is within. Anyway, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dada Pran. Krishna is our mother, Krishna is our father, Krishna is the Lord of our life. Otherwise, none of us have any hope. Unfortunately, in one sense, we don't have to worry about this because we didn't have any samskaras. They were created for us. Anyway, I'm going to stop a little early today with that and ask if there are, because I usually go over. Are there any questions?
Maharaj, hi, Krishna.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm terribly conflicted because I can't figure out which question I...
You have to speak louder, first of all.
Yes, there's so many things, I don't know what to actually choose.
I told you, I cannot answer your 108 questions that came up in this class. In just the class. You'll ask one, and sometimes, you know, you'll call me, that's all. Well, while Gail's thinking, I have one. Okay, wait, let someone else ask a question.
Yes.
Okay.
Gail, it's Mahamuni. I haven't had a chance to send you one.
Mahamuni, you ask a question. That'll be good.
Marge, you were... A point was being made in the class... when you're talking about Lord Chaitanya meeting his guru's godbrother.
Yeah.
And somehow it was making me think about, I'm not sure the connection exactly, but about humbly serving, I think, or maybe it was connected to the Bhattaharis and Krishnadas, that in a way service is a matter of an internal kind of cultivation and an attitude. It's not necessarily a matter of proximity.
Yeah, that was the Kala Krishnadas one.
Right.
When I asked this Shastri, you know, how he left Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, you know, you look at these stories, what is the message that is being given? And that was the message that the danger is that the real Sangha is not the encroachment on someone's room. The real Sangha is the mercy that person gives in reciprocation to your attitude.
Okay. Well, one thing that kind of struck me, Marj, is that sometimes proximity, it seems, can help. And what I mean by that is that those of us who maybe don't live among many devotees, it's the idea of like serving Vaishnavas and kind of that kind of reciprocal attitude that gets nourished quite a bit, let's say, if you live in the temple.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes to think like that when you're not really in that kind of environment.
In that environment.
Right, like humble service, like to another Vaishnava.
I was wondering
if you have any thoughts on
I see sometimes there are festivals, right? Mm-hmm. And devotees who have that realization, right? Mm-hmm. They take that position. They're the ones that want to serve the prasadam, serve the devotees, etc. They take that position. So there are opportunities for it. And, we live in families of devotees generally. You know, or communities of devotees. There's always opportunities to render service. When Pradyumna was giving his remembrances, I haven't really watched these remembrances, and he was talking about Vaishnav literatures, and he said that the Prabhupada was telling him that the six Goswamis weren't that much cognizant that, you know, these were going to be published. You know, how did they publish? Someone just copies it by hand. He said that their mood in writing was, and he said in every Vaishnav book it says, this was, I'm doing this for Rupa, I'm doing this for Sanatan. It was a very, very personal thing. Not that I'll become a big author or something. They were thinking, I'm writing it, you know, this will be a service for the Vaishnavas that are there in Vrindavan. You know, I'm writing this pastime, and Rupa will get pleasure, and Sanatan will get pleasure. Vaishnavism means for others. So we have to somehow or other keep that in the forefront of our consciousness when we do things, when we relate to others. And I think when I was at your house, you know, we were going through that book by Eric Fromm, The Art of Loving,
yeah.
And he was describing narcissism, I believe that's the term, where, you know, a person judges everything by his desires and his fears. In other words, what is real? What is real is that I have a hot body, the air conditioning should go up. Or that's what it should be. Another person thinks, okay, I have a cold body, the air conditioning should go down, you know. But the Vaishnava, he's thinking more about another person's needs than his own. So I think there's even little ways to look in that those terms, you know. Even, you know, in family relationships, etc. You know. Because ultimately, you know, we're going to be in Vrindavan, and what does Vrindavan mean? That everything is for Krishna. And unless we develop that humble service mood, we can't enter Vrindavan. It's why when we go to the Dhams, we pray to the Digpals, the Shivalingas, Lord Shiva that protects the Dham, because Lord Shiva is in charge of the Ahankara, the false ego. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer, material consciousness. It's got to be removed. So I think that's the mood. And in terms of the other thing with that Sangha, I think the main point there was just it's not that we don't aspire for personal association, because the personal association, when we see the Vaishnava who embodies the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in their own life, it's the greatest inspiration to serve. So we are seeking, just like with the previous pastime we had of Paramananda Puri. Lord Chaitanya met Paramananda Puri, who's another godbrother. It's interesting, because in that pastime, Lord Chaitanya said, oh, you're going to Navadvip? I want to go there to get your association. We're hankering to be with the Vaishnavas. But the warning is, don't let the material consciousness come in and ruin it, you know? To think that the association is that you're on their property, you know, but that you're actually with them for the mood of service. Mahamudi, that make that clear?
Very clear. Thank you very much. And thank you, Gail, for letting me step in.
Thanks, Mahamudi. Gail?
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Pick the one that's going to...
Yeah, okay.
As Kamal Krishnamurti used to say, they said there's always one person in the audience, right, who would try to stump the guru.
Well, that's not me, Maharaj.
No, okay, I know that.
Okay, my question, the one I'm picking is, you know, when in conversations with various devotees, I always get the sense that, you know, there's this conception that active service, when I say active service, I'm referring to things like cleaning the temple, cooking for the devotees, you know, things like that, is in some way or other superior to chanting and hearing. And, you know, nobody actually explicitly says this, but they speak about chanting and hearing as if to say the goal of chanting and hearing is to lead to these other, quote-unquote, active services, even though chanting and hearing itself is active service. And so, therefore, when we also hear that it is the chanting and the hearing is the topmost of the nine processes, it seems like a bit of a contradiction,
Well, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and it was Upadesh Shabali, which is his instructions, you know, he said to be careful, because without chanting and hearing, right, it's the best. Because what is the best activity? It's that which gives Krishna the most pleasure. And what gives Krishna the most pleasure? What gives Krishna the most pleasure is love. And what is the best process to get love? It's chanting the holy name. So if your goal is to give Krishna pleasure, then you have to take shelter of the holy name. If you wanna please Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's the father of Sankirtan, you have to chant the holy name. But if you think, so the goal is love, and so you look at it from two sides. If you don't actually chant the holy name and develop love, then your service can become fruit of activities. If you're doing activities without love, you'll start doing it for prestige, for different things, etc. But at the same sense, if you're just doing service, you know, if you're chanting and your goal is to please Krishna, and Krishna, your goal is to please Krishna, and there's something that Krishna that's needed to be done for Krishna, and you don't do it, then what does that mean? In other words, I think another point on this is that my consciousness, I was flowing on the point. I think another point on this is that to chant Hare Krishna properly, also you have to serve. You have to purify yourself. You have to engage yourself. And you have to be humble. Trinada peace in each anot. So it's not disconnected in that sense. In other words, the goal is to get prema, to get love of Godhead. And even if the best process is chanting the holy name because it's the most absorbing in the consciousness and it's the prema nam, how can you actually do that without serving? How can you actually become purified without serving? Purify yourself also. So in other words, to serve, you need to chant. To chant, you need to serve. And you also need to serve the spiritual master. You have to be completely, your heart has to be pure. You have to be in a mood of service. So, you know, it's not disconnected. Somehow my answer is not that clear.
You said that.
One second. I'm looking for something actually in my journal where I actually answered this, and I want to read it to you because I think it'll. If you just give me a second, I'm going to find it. I'm pretty sure. Okay. I'll find it in a second. I know where it is. Please. Yeah, you can ask while I'm looking for it.
Yes, you said that, you know, you need to chant to do your service without, you know, fruitive mentality, but you also said, but in order to...
there's a danger of that.
Huh?
There's a danger of that.
Yeah, but then Bhakti
Siddhanta said too, that preaching without sufficient purification, you know, it can degrade the fruit of activities.
Right.
In other words, here's the thing. We advance by absorption of the mind in Krishna. We advance by absorption of the mind in Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, chanting is where we're focused on directly associating with Krishna. That's called Sarupa Siddha Bhakti. The holy name is the internal potency, and we're focusing our consciousness on that.
But then you also said that how can you chant without the purification of service?
First of all, we can't chant all day. We're not that advanced. It says that the spiritual master finds the ways and means to engage one in devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
The spiritual master finds the ways and means to engage one in devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
So there are different. There are nine different types of items,
mm-hmm.
and there are different ways in which we engage our mind in devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
I just really want to find this. Let me just see. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
I think it's here. When one does Nam Seva, this is when I met this Sadhu Fakir Mohan, he will not stop practical devotional service. Rather, it will be done spontaneously and nicely, not forced. It will be like Jagai and Mudhai, who received Prem Bhakti from Lord Chaitanya and then, with their own hands, constructed a ghat for the pilgrims and cleaned it every day. So, Gail, I'm just going to try one more time to answer your question, and then I'll think about an answer in the class. But Namish, I said Tara Madhye Sarvaj Namasankirtan. It's the best process. It's the most purifying process, especially kirtan with others, to absorb oneself directly. And we can see that when we do kirtan. We're absorbed in, the mind becomes absorbed in Krishna. And that's the process of bhakti yoga. That's how devotion becomes drawn from the heart. That's the whole process of bhakti yoga. We have a relationship with Krishna, and the symptom or the attraction between two beings that have a relationship is love. So when you focus on a person whom you have a relationship with, the devotion comes out in the heart. And that's the goal, to develop that devotion. So when we focus on the Supreme Lord, the devotion comes out. Now when you do kirtan, we see very practically, when you do kirtan, how people become absorbed completely. And they're becoming absorbed. And it's in the holy name, and the holy name is Krishna. So that's the best process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, to absorb the mind in Krishna. But it's not the only process. And there are other processes, and you can become perfect in any of them. And the spiritual master will devise the ways and means. It was known when Prabhupada first came here, he asked the disciples to chant 64 rounds. Now, okay, now, can't do that, 32, at least 16. Because and why? Because it's the Yuga Dharma. And kirtan, and absorbing oneself in that way. But by doing service of yourself. So there's a balance of them. And then I said that they're related. Because if you're not doing sadhana bhakti and you do service, there's a chance that the heart won't develop the devotion and the activities won't, there's a chance, especially in a preaching movement, you know, when people are getting followers and they're running institutions and they're doing, and Lord Brahma, when he was about to create the universe, he asked, how can I do this without getting caught in ahankara? Because when you do work and an activity, the ahankara, the false ego, may come, and Krishna's answer was the Bhagavatam, that you have understanding, you have knowledge, etc. So that danger is there. But at the same sense, unless you have a surrendered attitude, a service attitude, and you cultivate that service attitude, and you cultivate humility by humbly serving, then how are you going to chant the holy name without offense? Because that, in other words, this is the answer. The holy name purifies the consciousness, enables you to do service. But practical service also engages you in ways that also purify you. In other words, ultimately, in both activities, you're relying on the consciousness of doing that activity. And chanting the holy name and focusing your mind on Krishna and performing sadhana bhakti will allow you to focus your mind more when you're doing active service. And when you do active service and you cultivate humility and you're engaging all your senses, that will also create a certain consciousness of humility that will allow you to chant the holy name. Trinada peace, anichena, terora peace, anishtana, amanina, madhane, kirtaniya, sadhari. That will also be there. So they interplay. But if we have to make a comparative study, because the holy name is the internal potency itself, and if you are able to put your consciousness in it, it's the most purifying, generally, because it's the Yuga Dharma. And in different ages, different things are given. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Bhakti Sandhava says devotion in the form of kirtan is unlimitedly merciful to those who are devoid of false prestige. Gail, I'm going to end right now. I'm sorry I couldn't answer it as fully, but would anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's this?
Gordon.
Gordon, Hare Krishna. Where are you, Gordon?
I'm on Huns Lake and Kahila Gibran, you are the poet.
Yeah, can you tell me something about him?
Born in Lebanon, the Prophet was his most famous book,
yeah,
but The Madman, there was a time he did a program over at Innisfree Garden, and some of his poetry was read there, but he, a definite servant of God, and I'd recommend to anybody to look in the library for The Prophet or The Madman, and you just have to read. You know, it's poetic, and it speaks of, when you speak of the program, it talks of devotional service to the soul and your connection to God, and he gives many references in his poetry that gives you a higher taste for your thinking and higher taste for faith. I thoroughly enjoy reading
it. I actually read that. Now I read that, and I don't remember specifically the verses, but I remember it was extremely deep. And it's significant that this person's father, you know, practically doesn't even speak, you know, somehow, you know, they just go to Ram Kathas and things like that, and they were kind of reading it, and, you know, he quoted that thing that, you know, he was praying to his guru, his Sufi guru, that when I, you know, I achieve the steps entering, you know, don't let me forget them, because I may give up my determination and enthusiasm. You know, and I'm here now, you know, I'm here now. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna today? Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay. I think most of the people are gone by now. Vanchakopa, Purugya, Strapika, Sindhu, Deva, Chapa, Pika, and Pada, Pika, and Pada.